We see you.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Maurice. Delighted to be joining the group. This whole notion of the science afternoon is very cool. I like it a lot. And I also very much like the way you've combined the different presentations and speakers. There's some really nice complementarities between the project I'm introducing and the two previous speakers. I'm relatively new to working in the Netherlands. I came from the UK a couple of years ago, but I am not new to knowing the Dutch academic purchasing community. They probably wouldn't want me to say this, but I've known quite a lot of them since the 1990s. It's great to actually be within the team rather than just meeting them at the annual conferences. My background is more around organization studies and development of procurement capability and capacity. And in particular, I'm interested in how that plays out for our ability to innovate and the sustainability agenda, the climate emergency. And as well as working as an educator and a researcher at UT, I'm involved in leading a recently established special interest group for IPCERA, which is a network of academic communities. And the special interest group coordinator at IPCERA is Robert. So again, very nice connections. And the title for that group is Strategic Procurement in the Public Domain. And for that, we have Fredo Skotanas to thank, because we were struggling. How could we bring together healthcare, public sector, any big buyers or buyers who are interested in developing purchasing, but their primary motive is not profit. It's about service to citizens, patients, and so on. So with that in mind, I'm very interested to see all these presentations, and particularly to introduce the three students that Fredo supervised, who are all with a science background and now studying a master's in science and business management. Now, what you're going to hear shortly is a presentation, not from their sort of master's research projects, but from one assignment on a program, a course run by Fredo. I had the pleasure of meeting them a few days ago and learned that they are sort of brand new to management, and they're getting their background on a lot of different disciplines within the field. And they have this really nice assignment where they are asked to go and look at the TED data, think of an interesting question, and then prepare some visuals and a presentation from that. And so what you're going to get is an extended version of the assignment that they submitted to Fredo. And if I remember rightly, Fredo actually put this up on LinkedIn because he's very proud of how interesting the presentation is that they'll give. As you're listening to what they're doing, and this question's connecting, in fact, to Anne and her colleagues' work as well, I'd like you to be thinking about it beyond just sort of the first level of learning. So if we take three levels of learning, kind of we get our knowledge and skills at the first level, a slightly deeper double level learning is actually we start to rethink how things are organized. And then at the third level, we go into learning to learn. What Fredo has done with this assignment that the students have is obviously they have to go and learn about TED. That's the basics. They have to learn about a bit about procurement. They also have to learn the rather challenging task of getting the right research question and really framing what it is they can make a contribution to in presentation and all those other skills. And then I'm afraid with these three, I don't think we've succeeded. But when people like Fredo and so on and myself and all my sort of educator colleagues do the right job with public procurement, we get to attract the talent to this field. And let's bear in mind, we're competing with the Unilevers of this world when we're trying to get purchasing people to come into purchasing. So we haven't succeeded with these three, but hopefully we will with other students that they study alongside. And from our point of view, whether we're talking about this as academics or procurement practitioners, I would invite you to sort of, we can think about what great intriguing findings we're going to hear shortly. We can think about how it might change what we do, whether it's we're leading tenders or we're doing existing research. And with this amazing data that's now available to us, which wasn't here, what, for us 10 years ago as researchers, we can add a lot more depth to our existing questions. But I'd also invite you to think about how, beyond the specifics of this presentation and indeed what Anne has done, and how we can use these data resources either for developing the system or as academics, you know, what do you think we should be researching? What we might know more about the processes we might do that research by, but what questions could we be asking about how to scale up and speed up the innovation agenda within the public sector? So with those in mind, I will hand over now to the students, Adil and Simon and Regina, who are going to give you a really interesting presentation from one small assignment in their studies.
Thank you, Louise, for that introduction. I will share my screen now, and Simon will start with the first part of our presentation.
Great. Yeah, we can go to the second slide. Yeah, we have performed this research in our master course on public procurement, which required us to develop a research question on a topic in public procurement using the Tenders Electronic Daily Database, also known as the TED database for Europe. So we found that the design contest as a type of contract for a public tender was interesting to use in our research question, as the reward criteria differ a lot from the regular selection procedures, which do not include the aspects such as creativity. So the research question formulated by us was what subject types are present with a design contest as a procurement procedure, and which countries make use of this as well. Next slide. To begin with, what is a design contest? Well, it basically is that the buyer formulates a challenge and awards a prize to the parties that submit the best solutions after assessments by an independent jury. Design contest is really a way of bringing creativity onto the market, therefore stimulating new ideas or concepts. And there can be many reasons for which a design contest would be appropriate. Sometimes submissions can actually end up being used in real life projects. In addition to this, design contests can have many different angles, and the ideas submitted can also be used as an inspiration source, even if they are not produced. And largely, a design contest can also be a way to create large amounts of publicity about a project without having to incur heavy marketing expenses. Next. So we used the TED database for Europe, and we selected the design contest methods in the business opportunities for any public tender together with the services as the type of contract. Yeah, we can go to the next again. And then the database then provided us with the amount of tenders, which each respective common procurement vocabulary, which is the short for CPVs. So what are these CPVs? Basically divide the different tenders in categories, classes, and groups, and divisions based on their code number, which we'll see in the next slide. And after analyzing the data, the results were follows. Out of a total of about 12,000 results with a design contest in Europe, we saw that the main subject with 76% was architectural, construction, engineering, and inspection services. And the second ring being the health and social services. And then also some other tender subjects as well, such as the construction work and business services, and also the industrial machinery. Yeah, we can go to the next again. And then we inspected the results more closely and determined what the major subjects were out of these categories. And for the health and social work services, it is mainly composed of the health services that use the design contest method, and the architectural, et cetera, services are mainly composed of the architectural and related services, being composed of 70%. Our hypothesis was that these projects in these specific type of tenders require more creativity, also such as the building designs for businesses and hospitals, or other solutions such as to mechanical engineering design problems as well. Yeah. Floor is for Odile.
Yeah, but Odile just left the stage. She's locked out.
No, oh. I don't know. No, I changed my laptop. I'm here. Okay. I'm here. Okay. So we also looked at design contests per year, and we had information from the TED database from 2014 till now. We saw that for the first years, there was a steady increase in design contests. And then for the years 2018 and 2019, it was like steady on a plateau. And then there was a big drop in 2020. And our hypothesis is that it was because of COVID that many design contests were put on hold, that there wasn't a priority at the time. But then we see for 2021 that there is still an increase. There was an increase compared to 2020. And even though COVID has still had an impact on this year, that might indicate that for next year, when hopefully we don't have that much impact from COVID anymore, it will still increase. Okay, next slide. Then we also looked at the buyers of design contests. We compared all the tenders, those buyers and the buyers for a design contest. And when you look at that, you see that especially regional and local authorities have more design contests compared to all the tenders. And we hypothesized that this was because if you look at what is being procured, it's mainly it's very much architectural stuff. And then if you look at roads or community buildings, that is mostly done by local and regional authorities instead of by the whole country. So that is our hypothesis for these numbers. Then if we look at the next, we also looked at the geographical spread for design contests. We looked at the total, which you see on the right. And we also looked at the amount of design contests per inhabitants of the country. And in both of these graphs show that especially France has a high level of design contests, and Regina will talk more about why later, or maybe why. And for the relative numbers, so the map you see on the left, we also saw that smaller countries such as the Baltic states and Luxembourg and also Austria, those are a bit smaller countries. And our hypothesis for that is because these countries, they may have lower or less inhabitants, but they still need the procurement on infrastructure. So then in the end, you get a higher level of design contests per inhabitant for this reason. And yes, also, just a note that the Netherlands only had 20 or 51 contest designs. So that's a big difference compared to the other European countries. And what also might be interesting to look at next is compare the total amount of tenders per country to and to what percentage of those are contest designs. Design contest. And I looked at the difference between France and Germany, and they have about the same amount of total tenders, but then France has a much higher level of contest designs. And then this would also be interesting to see for all the European countries. Thank you. Next slide. So then we also looked at the type of procedure being done. So we looked at open versus restricted procedure. And for the EU, the most common type of procedure is open. But then as you can see here, this is in percentage per buyer, that overall about three quarters are being procured in a restricted procedure. And the EU actually has guidelines rules for procurement of design contests. And it states that for tenders with a value higher of 419,000 euros, an open procedure is necessary. Or there seems to be kind of bit like leeway if the procedure is being done fairly and non-discriminatory. But then the question is, what are the exceptions being made to this? And another thing that I found quite interesting was that on the TED database for the design contests, there were no values given, whereas for normal tenders, about half show the value. I don't know if there's anyone who has more knowledge on this and can explain, or if there is actually a reason. But yes, then looking at the graph in front of us, we see that for many buyers, the restricted levels are higher than the open procedure levels, except for the national and federal agencies. And the hypothesis that I had for this is that these procurements, the value exceeds the number stated by the EU, so over 419,000 euros, and that therefore they are they have to have an open procedure for this type of procurement. So the next slide, please. Yes, so this is also what I said before, that about 75% or yes, 76% of design contests are done with a restricted procedure. And yeah, whereas it normally is over half is being procured with an open procedure. And even if we look at France, the biggest design contest procurer of Europe, there it is even a smaller amount that is that has an open procedure. And I think Regina will take over from here.
That's right. We will proceed to a Mentimeter. Are you still seeing my slide?
But also your computer screen.
Yeah, I think that is just the way it is. because we will work with a Mentimeter from here, because we will ask you for some help for interpreting those results we have, because we're the ones with the least experience, so we would like to use your experience for interpreting. And therefore we first go to our second slide, if it will work, yeah, and ask you about your experience. So how many of you have ever worked with a design contest? And we will assemble the dots here and hope to see that some of you have worked there with a design contest. We saw already that the Netherlands was not a big fan of, or not a big user of, the design contest. So only 51 times of recorded in the TED database. But I see some people getting in here that were highly involved or slightly involved. And the most of us were not involved. So I think this is interesting already, to see that in our crowd, there are already some users of this. I think we'll go to the next slide already, the next question, if it will allow me. Yeah, I would also like to ask you, what was your experience with it? Or how do you value a design contest? What are your regards of it? Because I think there will be a lot of biases towards it. And I hope to see whether there are some values of that, and whether this might differ, if, for instance, with those other countries that are a big fan of using those design contests. So here we have the a grid of the expensiveness, the effort, the valuability, and the creativity of a design contest. And I see it's already changing a bit, and that 16 people are online and voting. And what I see here is that people find it very creative. And I think that is also what the design contest aims at, to be creative and competitive. That it's valuable, but also maybe a lot of effort for the procurers. And that might have a great influence on whether the procurers will actually use this this procedure. So this is interesting information, I would say. And then I would like to go to my final slide on this, and hope to start a discussion here, because we found it most interesting to see that Frans was so such a fan of using the design contest. So we were wondering about it. Why is Frans using it way more than the Netherlands, for instance? And we have some hypotheses for this, and we would like whether you have some views on this. One of them is that France, for instance, has regulations on it that it's already obliged to use a design contest from 1.5 tons. So this is already quite a low threshold, and therefore people, local authorities are often obliged to use a design contest. What is interesting here is that it's prescribed to be a restricted design contest, which might influence these numbers as well, that there are way less open procedures in France than in the rest of the EU. And this could also influence, that is also a hypothesis, why it is valued better, because that may enable them to have a higher value contracting out of this design contest with less effort, for instance, less parties to manage. And I would like to pose you the question, like, what would you think is more of an effort, like the open or restricted design contest? And maybe one of you that actually did once a design contest can share some experience on this.